Hello, and welcome to FirstPac Trust Bancorp, Incorporated's June 7th, 2011 Investors Conference Call regarding the company's acquisition of Gateway Bancorp. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. James Sheehy, Executive Vice President and Secretary of FirstPac Trust Bancorp. Mr. Sheehy, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for the investor conference call regarding the company's acquisition of Gateway Bancorp. With me on the call today are FirstPac Trust Bancorp's President and Chief Executive Officer, Gregory A. Mitchell. Also here to assist Mr. Mitchell in answering your questions later this teleconference is the company's Chief Financial Officer, Marito Domingo. Today's conference call is being recorded for replay via phone, and a copy of the recording and a transcript of the meeting will be available later on the company's investor relations website. Before I turn it over to Greg, I want to remind everyone that, as always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and based on our best view of the world and our businesses as we see them today. Those elements can change as the world changes. Please interpret them in that light. The forward-looking statements in yesterday's press release and 8-K filing also apply to our comments today. Those documents are available on our firstpactrustbancorp.com investor relations website, as are other 8-Ks filed regarding investor presentation material and other matters. A PDF file of the Gateway Bancorp acquisition investor presentation slideshow for this teleconference can be found on the company's investor relations website under the link entitled Annual Reports and Presentations. We will have time for questions and answers at the end of the presentation. Now I'll turn it over to our President and CEO, Greg Mitchell.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning to those of you here on the West Coast, and good afternoon to our friends on the East. First and foremost, I'd like to thank all of you for your continued interest in FirstPac Trust Bancorp and our subsidiary, Pacific Trust Bank. We're very excited about a number of the developments that are going on here at the company, not the least of which is our acquisition of Gateway Bancorp, Gateway Business Bank, and Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers. We think that this acquisition will be the first of many for FirstPac Trust Bancorp and will allow us to achieve some great strategic milestones for our company here in San Diego and ultimately throughout the West Coast. Before I jump into the specific presentation, I wanted to offer a couple of words of thanks. First and foremost, I want to thank the Tarbell family, who are the principal shareholders of Gateway Business Bank, for founding that institution, developing it through the years, and agreeing to sell that organization to FirstPac Trust Bancorp. We take very seriously our responsibility to preserve the legacy that they've built at that institution. To the extent that they're listening today, thank you. I also want to thank in advance the employees of Gateway Business Bank and Mission Hills Mortgage, who we look forward to developing great relationships with on a go-forward basis. Now jumping into the transaction a bit. As many of you know, I've had the good fortune of being a commercial banker for many years and an investment banker for a number of years as well. In both fronts, I consider the acquisition of Gateway Business Bank to be a great transaction financially and strategically. A handful of reasons that I'm sort of bullish on this transaction are that it is immediately accretive to earnings per share. It is, despite the FAS 141R adjustments, immediately accretive to tangible book value. In the current accounting world, that is a somewhat unique phenomenon. It's a transaction that provides immediate access to growth, not only in our core business lines, but also giving us meaningful expansion into what we consider to be an attractive mortgage origination market, which greatly increases our levels of non-interest income. Back to the notions of tangible book value, we have looked at and continue to look at a number of transactions and have found very few opportunities where we or really any other acquirer can complete a transaction within the framework of the FAS 141R rules that create immediate accretion to TBV. It works in this transaction, and I'll be happy to explain to you why as we go along in the transaction. Let me talk about a few other things from a high-level perspective, and then we'll jump into the presentation. from a capital perspective, First Pac Trust Bancorp and Pacific Trust Bank both remain extremely well capitalized on a pro forma basis. We do not need to raise additional capital to complete this transaction. And we are paying at a level that is, as I mentioned earlier, it's actually accretive to tangible book value. So a very big plus for the organization. From an asset perspective, we think the risk within the portfolio is readily understood and quantified, both out of the mortgage banking activity and out of the community bank activity. This is a company that's previously taken some pretty significant charge-offs on its loan portfolio. The core loan portfolio at the bank is only about $80 million, and it has roughly 4-plus percent reserve to loans on that portfolio. And again, the risk is pretty well understood and quantifiable. Importantly, on the asset side, Gateway Business Bank is an SBA preferred lender. As we've disclosed in prior filings, we have applied for funding under the SBLF program. So we see the small business channel that Gateway Business Bank possesses as something that would be additive to First PacWest Bancorp as we continue to pursue small business lending initiatives. So strong reserves, asset risk is identified and controllable, and we think we have a good understanding of what the condition is within that portfolio. From a management perspective, as I mentioned earlier, the Tarbell family has done a good job building this franchise over the last many years. There's some very dedicated and committed staff within the mortgage company and the bank, and we see no substantive social issues or management issues related to an integration of these two companies. From an earnings perspective, as I mentioned a moment ago, this transaction is immediately and we think ultimately strongly accretive to our earnings per share. The company today maintains about $90 million in cash with a negative spread on that cash position, simply a redeployment of that cash into securities or other earning assets will materially boost the earnings of Gateway Business Bank. Likewise, we think there's significant opportunities to increase revenue out of Mission Hills Mortgage and for First PacTrust Bancorp and the bank to ultimately increase our levels of non-interest income as we continue to develop the strong mortgage origination activity of Mission Hills Mortgage. Likewise, we can use that platform and its technology to increase the levels of mortgage originations out of our own branches of a Pacific Trust Bank, which would be quite advantageous from our perspective. From a liquidity and liabilities perspective, the acquisition adds two attractive branches, one in Orange County and one in Los Angeles County. With our previous announcement of the opening, pro forma opening of two offices in LA, this will give us three branches in Los Angeles County, as well as a loan production office, one branch in Orange County, and then the balance of our franchise here in San Diego County. It also gives us 22 loan production offices located in three states, California, Oregon, and Arizona, that we believe we can leverage for deposit origination and relationship building, given our relationship with the Credit Union Service Center and other channels. So very positive about that. And then from an interest rate risk perspective, on a consolidated basis, this company will further enhance our interest rate risk management platform. So hopefully you can tell from my brief overview of this transaction and hopefully a little bit of excitement in my voice that I think this is a very strong transaction for First PacTrust Bancorp, for our bank, and for the employees of our bank, as well as the employees of Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers and Gateway Business Bank. So with that, I want to flip through a couple of pages in the presentation that open up for specific questions. Notably, on page 3 of the presentation, we talk about growth, and this is something we're particularly proud of at PacTrust. We've been here for 5 months, 6 months now, and during that time period, we've achieved a number of key milestones. We've shared with the market that we intend to attract great people and to attract great partners to join us. This is an indication of our continued success on that mission. As it relates to the transaction structure here, we're acquiring 100% of the issued and outstanding shares of Gateway Business Bank for up to $17 million in cash. There's a $14.5 million cash component that is paid at closing, subject to Gateway Business Bank meeting certain capital covenants, and a $2.5 million set-aside or escrow for potential losses on the mortgage repurchase activities and other items. So we think that provides good coverage to Bancorp while providing the shareholders of Gateway Business Bank a reasonable return on their capital. We have completed a review of credit and regulatory risks, and we're confident that this can be approved generally by the mid fourth quarter of 2011. We're hopeful for a closing earlier, but that's subject to receipt of regulatory approval. Earlier, I mentioned the strategic fit. We think it's quite positive from that perspective. It's financially attractive, as I discussed earlier. From a pro forma perspective, again, it gives us increased presence in Los Angeles County, our first entry point into Orange County, and gives our San Diego bank branches additional products to sell that are coming out of the Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers activity, while also giving to Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers the ability to sell our highly attractive green mortgage, as well as other products that can be held within the portfolio of First PacTrust Bancorp. And we'll spend a little more time later talking about the quality of production coming out of Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers. So the platform at Mission Hills, which is a key element of this transaction, you can see the franchise for FPTB now spanning from Salem, Oregon to the Mexican border with a presence in Oregon. So we're now building a West Coast platform. They have been around for 40 years. That's remarkable in the mortgage business, and I think speaks well to the quality of their production. They are a retail origination platform focused largely on FHA, VA, conforming Fannie Freddie. These were not a jumbo lenders. These were not folks that were focusing heavily on refinance markets. They're focusing principally on purchase money transactions through long-term relationships with local realtors. So it's qualitative production. Clearly, there are some challenges with their book, as there are with any other mortgage company in the country, but we're comfortable with what we're seeing out of Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers. And notably, you can see they've produced some significant volume since 2006. Now, people on the call today that are thinking $4.2 billion isn't much production relative to other players, but when you're focusing on smaller ticket loans with qualitative production, that's a material achievement. So from a P&L perspective, this transaction is expected to generate $3-plus million of annual earnings contribution from the new entity in 2012. That's against, I think, the consensus estimate for us is $1 a share next year, so you can look at the levels of accretion. We've assumed pretty moderate cost saves with no revenue assumptions in generating those projections. We wanted to be conservative rather than bold in this first transaction and make sure that we've done it right. We have one-time deal costs of $1.25 million. That's a pre-tax number. And as I discussed earlier, the consideration structure of a maximum of $17 million. This transaction also includes a number of components to protect Pacific Trust Bank and First Trust Bank Corp from repurchase risk on residential mortgages. Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers, like other mortgage originators over the last 10 years, has experienced some repurchase requests from folks that have purchased mortgages over the last several years. Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers and Gateway has done a good job in understanding and managing that risk and has appropriately established reserves. We have added to those reserves following a rather thorough review of their production over the last several years. And we think that with the reserves that they have in place, a contingent reserve that we've added, and the escrow component in place, First PacTrust Bank Corp is properly insulated from risk out of that activity. Pro forma balance sheet, you see our combined company will have a little over $1 billion in assets, very strong cash position in the instant. As I discussed earlier, we see some pretty significant opportunities to redeploy that cash and enhance earnings. Gross loans of roughly $800 million, deposits of $800 million, and tangible common equity on a pro forma basis of $163 million. Notably, again, we're acquiring another institution, integrating it into our institution, and our tangible common equity is actually increasing after considering FAS 141R adjustments. That's, to me, a big deal. And then you can look at your leisure on the pro forma deposit composition. We're not adding a lot of additional DDA and core accounts. Gateway Business Bank has significant concentrations of CDs. It is giving us some small business relationships and some increased levels of DDA accounts. We look forward to a transformation of that franchise, not unlike the transformation that's going on at Pacific Trust Bank today. As it relates to credit, we conducted on-site and off-site due diligence reviews of this institution. As I mentioned earlier, became comfortable with the downside risk there. The portfolio is really $79 million in loans held to maturity, and about $20 million of loans held for sale as part of their mortgage banking activity. The average loan size there is a couple hundred thousand dollars, about $226,000. So not a large portfolio, not a high concentration of risk. They're principally engaged in four types of lending. One is SBA guaranteed lending. One is rehab construction loans on small properties in California. One is a well-structured factoring business. And the fourth is a residential mortgage lending. We have an understanding of each of those, and we'll continue to evaluate those in the months ahead. We hired a very strong third-party firm to help us value the risk in the mortgage portfolio with respect to the recourse obligations. And it, as I mentioned earlier, felt comfortable with what we had there. There's a in the table, there's some discussion about the credit metrics within this institution. So why do we like this? I'm on page 13 for those of you who are following the presentation. It's immediately accretive to EPS and tangible book value. Attractive valuation. It's priced below stated book value. It's interesting to note that there have really been four, now five, transactions completed on the West Coast since the beginning of the year. Two transactions with Blind Pool Deals, the Grand Points acquisition in Orange County, and Opus's Bank in Orange County. Both of those deals were completed at price levels in excess of 1.3 times book value. We've completed a transaction here in Orange County in Southern California at a price point of 60% of tangible book value and accretion to tangible book. So that's, I think, a testament to the market and to our ability to maintain discipline in this arena. It diversifies the revenue sources, as I mentioned earlier, significant opportunities there. Our team has the horsepower necessary to manage this risk and integrate Gateway in a timely fashion. Tangentially, this is a transaction of size that gives us an opportunity to assimilate it into the organization and, for First Pac Trust, develop the disciplines necessary to ensure that we can acquire institutions subsequent to Gateway without a lot of glitches. As I've mentioned in prior presentations, we expect acquisitions to be, in many respects, a line of business for First Pac Trust Bank Corp. So to the extent that we get it right on this one with a smaller transaction, it's going to help us as we move towards increasingly larger institutions or increasing numbers of acquisitions on a pro forma basis. And then finally, we maintain a strong capital ratios on a pro forma basis. So again, hopefully you share our excitement regarding this acquisition of Gateway Business Bank and share our excitement and conviction regarding the strategic value of incorporating this important company into First Pac Trust Bancorp. So with that, I'm going to ask the operator to open the lines for questions and ask some of my fellow executives to assist me in that in responding to you.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Joe Gladue with B. Riley.
Hey, good morning, Greg. Congratulations.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
I guess, first off, I wonder if you could just give us a little more color on the expense levels at Gateway. You know, they operating expenses look relatively high compared to First Pac Trust and and just wondering if you can give us an idea of what you think can be cut out.
Well, I think there's a couple things there on a consolidated basis. They're showing the impact of Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers. And as you know, Joe, those activities typically have a lot of bodies. There are, I think, in the aggregate, more than 300 people on the payroll of Gateway Business Bank and its subsidiaries. So, you know, this isn't the type of deal where you can simply go in and slash and burn bodies, because you need those bodies to run the mortgage division. You can, however, cause those costs to be revenue generators and cover those costs through increased production of credit. So we see out of the mortgage activity very little in the way of cost saves, but significant opportunities on the revenue enhancement side. So essentially we're taking an existing body and instead of it allowing it to lift, you know, 200 pounds, each person's going to be able to lift 300 pounds, and we're going to get healthier from an earnings perspective and cause our team members coming out of Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers to become much more healthy. At the bank level, we see some opportunities for cost savings from a regulatory perspective, some of the back office functions. We'll be looking as part of this transaction at opportunities to leverage some of those skills. You know, there's obviously duplication in audit, IT, other factors. We have modeled internally some cost saving assumptions that I think are reasonable and consistent with transactions that have been done in the market, and we'll leave it up to the analysts to sort of reach their own conclusions regarding the level of cost saves that might be realized in this transaction. I know you're probably wanting more, Joe, as it relates to a specific number of cost saves that we can realize, but I think you'll be, as it comes through, I think you'll be quite pleased with the level of savings and revenue enhancements that come out of the deal.
Okay. Well, let me ask a little bit about the SBA lending that Gateway does. Is that primarily, I guess, wondering, A, is that primarily done out of the branches or the LPOs? And I guess could you just give us an idea of the volumes they're doing?
Yeah, great question, Joe. Right now it's an underutilized platform. I think they'll do $5 million in production in 2011. Not a big activity. They are an SBA preferred lender. It's 504-704. And other SBA, 7A, and other SBA product channels. It's not done out of the branches, and there is no connection with Gateway, Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers. It's all done out of the bank with business development officers. So in the future, we would hope to build on the SBA channels at PacTrust and ultimately have some of our business development officers that we're bringing on to PacTrust as part of our small business initiatives producing for the benefit of that SBA division. But you need to view this transaction as sort of two distinct personalities. Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers, its only function today is the origination of residential mortgages throughout its market areas. It is not delivering any other bank lending products. In Gateway Business Bank, the two branches are largely focused on deposit gathering with very limited lending activities. As we bring these institutions together, we'll have Mission Hills Mortgage helping us produce more volume out of PacTrust, and likewise have the small business folks from Gateway Business Bank helping us to expand our own C&I lending initiatives. Does that make sense?
And just one follow-up on there. With SBA loan production, you know, if you can increase it, do you plan on selling some or all of that production or maintaining it in portfolio?
I think it depends upon the needs of the bank and the opportunities within the market. I think if there's periods where if the market's willing to pay 110 or 111 for an SBA loan that we think may only be worth 104, yeah, I think we'd certainly be happy to sell that. We're also desirous of really deepening our relationships within the community and offering a product that is relationship-based within our community. So to the extent that we can hold it and meet our customer needs, we will.
Okay.
But I wouldn't model for significant gain on sale from SBA production.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll step back and get back in queue.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.
Your next question comes from the line of Gary Tenner with D.A. Davidson.
Good morning, and congratulations on the deal.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Thank you.
Thanks. I had a couple questions. First off, on the mortgage business, can you talk about, I guess, the long-term goals for that business in terms of further expanding it, you know, obviously with the reach up into Oregon and a little bit in Arizona? What are you looking for over time from that business?
Well, I think we see opportunities for growth in the mortgage business. As some of you know, historically I was not terribly bullish on mortgage originations. But one of the positive outcomes of Frank Dodd is that there is a lot more discipline in the mortgage business, and a lot more licensing requirement, and many more barriers to entry that keep some of the perhaps less desirous historic players in the mortgage business out. The shakeup also creates very significant opportunities for strong operators like Mission Hills, who may be able to roll up other quality mortgage originators in secondary markets throughout those states. So we see it as a potential platform for future expansion from the acquisition of strong mortgage companies or strong mortgage originators within those primary markets. Likewise, Gary, we see it as an opportunity to begin to deliver a more robust mortgage product out of our own branches of Pacific Trust Bank. In the past, we have not offered mortgages out of our own branches because we've not had the distribution channel. We can now use the mortgage, the Mission Hills mortgage platform and some of their technology to introduce this product set to our own branches, which will further increase fee income for us, deepen our relationships with customers of the bank, and allow us to increase portfolio totals and materially increase the levels of non-interest income.
And also on the mortgage business, would you be able to quantify at all the degree of repurchases that the companies had to made over the last year or 2 years?
I'm going to defer that to Marita. Can I speak to that?
Yeah, they've experienced actually very little. Their first repurchases really started in 2009, and primarily focused on current production. They have expensed in the last couple of years about $2.5 million a year, and in our review, they've also been able to address a lot of the sources of the leakage. So they've stopped that from that perspective. If you look at the level of reserves that they currently have, plus the amount we put in escrow, and the amount that we intend to set aside as part of this closing of the transaction, it is multiples of what they've experienced in the last couple of years in terms of buyback. Their production is quality production, and most of the items that are costing the repurchase, again, it's not recourse risk, but simply, as you all know, Fannie and Freddie have tightened the level of scrutiny that they do when they buy a loan, as well as the MI companies. So a lot of these things can be addressed by tightening operational controls when closing a loan, as opposed to, these are loans that go delinquent very quickly from that perspective. The other thing that we like about Mission Hills origination platforms is they are not in cities where you've seen rapid growth in home prices. They're very stable type of secondary towns across the Pacific Northwest and California, so and Arizona. So we like where they're at, and they've avoided all the major cities from that perspective. And actually, if you look at their 42-year history, have been most active, originating purchase transactions for successful realtors. The Tarbell family represents about 20% of the volume for Mission Hills, and the rest of it is sourced from other successful realtors within their local communities.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And then if I could just ask one more question, stepping away from the actual transaction, but I wonder if you could give us a sense of the traction you've developed here in the second quarter in terms of the organic side of the business, and maybe as it does relate to some degree to the deal, the type of yield you're seeing on the new production.
Well, it's getting sort of a little ahead of ourselves. In the call discussing the first quarter earnings, I talked about the fact that the pipeline was building, and we were expected some pretty solid production second quarter, with production building further in Q3 and 4. And I think we're very much on target to achieve that. We're liking the quality of the product that's coming in, both out of the residential side and out of the commercial side. And we're liking the pricing. I think we could have produced substantially more volumes if we were willing to sort of go where some players are going from a pricing perspective. We're maintaining our discipline for quality and yield, and still expect to achieve our 2011 production targets.
Great, guys. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Alish with Sandler O'Neill.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So it sounds like the bone production offices in Oregon, Arizona, Northern California, you're going to hang on to them, and that they're now going to be part of your long-term plans?
Correct.
Gotcha. And then my real question really revolves around, if we see a big increase in interest rates in the next year or so, how lucrative is that business, the gain on sale?
It's a good question. Not particularly lucrative, because if you see a large spike in interest rate, presumably you'd have decreasing levels of mortgage originations. Mission Hills Mortgage, not unlike other mortgage companies throughout the country, is set up as an accordion with short-term leases on its properties and a lot of variable costs in its structure. So if there is an adverse interest rate environment, an economic environment that would curtail production, we would start playing that accordion to reduce the expense burden.
Gotcha.
That response to your question, where you're going, Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely. So they would get paid less should interest rates rise, and that should help out you guys your profitability. I'm trying to say here.
No, you got it.
Okay, gotcha. And then this deal's pretty small, but so it seems like I'm just curious. Like, there could still be other deals announced later on this year. It just seems like it's not a large deal that you have the capacity to do more, even while you're working with this one.
That's correct.
Gotcha. That's it for me.
Okay,
thank
you, Andrew.
Your next question comes from the line of Don Worthington with Raymond James.
Hey, good morning, Don.
Hey, good morning, Greg and Marito. A couple things. In terms of the deposits you're acquiring, since they're skewed towards the CDs, how much of that would you expect to retain versus run off?
Well, it's a great question. It's also an advantage for us in the transaction. They have a cost of deposits at the end of the first quarter of, I think, 118 is what we included in the book. They have been repricing CDs down and holding the relationships because, quite frankly, there are not a lot of places for their customers to go with superior yields. It wouldn't surprise me to see sort of 20% of the CD book go off to some other high rate paying player, but that would not be bad, because we see pretty significant opportunities to reset that the pricing in that portfolio.
Okay, and clearly there's enough liquidity to handle
right.
some runoff as well.
Right.
So, okay, I think Gateway had a regulatory issue, did they not, with Equal Credit Opportunity Act and Fair Housing Act issues. Would you expect that to be all resolved prior to the acquisition?
Yeah, part of our reference to regulatory risk, understanding that earlier, is we've looked at that in great detail. Those issues have been resolved as it related to the fair lending and the larger government investigations. There are still some compliance issues that Gateway is working through as part of its enforcement orders with the government, and we will continue to work to make sure that it is a squeaky clean mortgage activity. Part of what we've shared with the troops at Mission Hills Mortgage and within the bank is compliance risk management and reputation risk management are of paramount importance to us. So we're going to be spending the dollars necessary to make sure that this is as strong as it can possibly be. And one of the reasons we've assumed no cost savings in the mortgage division is we expect to probably spend a few dollars on further enhancing compliance activities, and we'll cover those costs with whatever savings we might be able to realize through some integration with the resources at Pacific Trust Bank. So net, you know, we're spending some to improve compliance, but we're paying for that through some level of cost saves. Does that make sense, Don?
Yeah, great. Thank you. And then I guess lastly for me, you didn't publish any pro forma regulatory capital ratios. You have a ballpark of where you think you might be post-acquisition.
Yeah, they actually improved on, because Gateway, I want to say, has something like 14% Tier 1 and 35% risk-based. So we're strong today at, I think, 16 and 24 on a consolidated basis at PAC Trust. So our ratios actually improve as a result of the transaction.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, and congratulations on the deal.
Thank you, Don.
Your next question comes from the line of Doug Christopher with Kroll Wheaton.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
We're glad to have you, Don.
Yeah. Question regarding, this was a look back to the first question, talking about some of the opportunities. You mentioned that, you know, this isn't a slash and burn type of deal, but just since the downturn of the past couple of years, what had Gateway kind of already done before you made this announcement?
Well, I think Gateway's worked through a number of issues within its portfolio. It's taken some pretty substantial charges out of its core portfolio, both the factoring business and their construction business, and has established some pretty large provisions. So they've made a number of improvements in their organizational structure and compliance culture within the organization to gain compliance with their regulatory orders. They continue to be out in the market, working to originate SBA production out of their factory business, and some production in their rehab loan arena, but have not been out there as sort of crazy players offering ridiculous terms to get whatever loans they get in the market or get into the bank, which is one of the reasons why they're sitting on so much cash today. And that cash actually creates a lot of opportunity for us.
And I guess one of the areas I was going, you mentioned there's about 300 people on payroll now. Were there, let's say, 350 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Or has it been pretty constant?
No, there's been some shrinkage from a staff perspective as they work to sort of further rationalize the cost structure.
Okay.
So there has been some shrinkage in the past.
Okay.
Clearly with any merger. There will be some additional staff attrition with PAC Trust. However, we've priced for that, and tend to be very humane as it relates to acquirers. So part of our $1.25 million in expected transaction costs covers some of our expected severance expenses, termination of data processing contracts, and so forth.
And so if I'm looking at the total consideration, they talking about $17 million. That does not include the 1.25, so is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so if I add those two together, you're expecting $3 million, so it's something around a 16% return.
Yeah, the cash on cash is more like 20%, because the 1.25 in transaction costs are things that we expect to incur. The company has covered the cost of its financial advisor and has covered the cost of its lawyer, so it's paying those expenses.
Okay.
We'll be expending those costs for some of our advisory help and legal help, as well as initiatives aimed at sort of further improving profitability of the combined company.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Tim Coffey with FIG Partners.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
Hey, morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
So, looking at the map that you put in the presentation, you have a lot of dots on that. Can you kind of handicap for me what the odds are that some of those loan production offices become full-fledged branches?
can't handicap that yet. Many of them are set up as really storefronts within shopping centers or an office within an office building, and are really not conducive to becoming a full-service branch of a financial institution. However, what we think we can do, Tim, is sell some PacTrust products through those offices, leverage our relationship with the Credit Union Service Center to seek a deposit relationship with those customers, and use technology to get a little more out of the mortgage channel. You know, some of the large national players talked about originating mortgages and trying to get a larger share of wallet. None of them did a very good job at it because there wasn't a convenient location within the market of the consumer to be able to transact their business. Here at PacTrust, because we have some technological advantages and because we have the Credit Union Service Center, we have 4,300 branches throughout the United States, many in Arizona and Oregon and parts of California that we do not have branches. So our folks out of Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers will be able to suggest to people that are getting a mortgage an opportunity to get a deposit account with PacTrust, and we can service those relationships through our Credit Union Services relationship and through our very broad ATM network.
Okay. Well, that's more of a near-term goal, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, I understand the physical locations of some of the loan production offices are incompatible with a full-fledged banking operation, but say something were to open up across the street, would you be adverse to integrating the mortgage loan production offices with a full-fledged branch?
No.
Okay. And then I can't find it in the presentation, although I'm sure you've mentioned it. How much does Mission Hills Mortgage Banking have in reserve for putbacks right now?
They have roughly $2 million in reserve now. And the way the transaction's structured, if you think about it, there's that $2 million now. There's $2.5 million in the escrow, and there's $2.9 million in contingent liabilities on top of that. So to Marito's point earlier, what we've reserved for in this transaction exceeds what they have experienced in prior year periods.
Sure. All right, great. Those are all my questions.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. You have a follow-up question from the line of Joe Gladue with B. Riley.
Thank you.
Yep. Actually, it's sort of two follow-ups. One is just on the deal-related expenses, the $1.25 million. Can you give us an idea of how much of the timing of that, how much of that might be incurred, you know, just in preparation for the deal in second quarter, and how much might wait until the actual completion of the deal?
Well, I think none of it would be expensed until the transaction closes, so I don't think you should expect to see items expensed in Q2. You'd see them expensed when once the transaction closed, so they'd be capitalized till closing. So let's say we close at the end of Q3, you know, you may see, you know, let's call it an initial $400,000 or $500,000 at the end of Q3. And then as we begin to deal with termination of data processing contracts, certain severance obligations, and other items, you'd see those flowing through probably in Q4. Our hope is to realize many of the cost saves from this transaction in 2012, and to complete most of the integration issues, most if not all of the integration issues, in 2011.
Okay, fair enough. And just lastly, you know, it looks like... just in a quick look at the Gateway's balance sheet, that they've been shrinking their balance sheet a good bit over the last few quarters. Do you expect that trend to continue between now and closing of the deal?
If not shrinkage, I suspect it'll stay flat. I think amortizations and payoffs on their existing portfolio will likely exceed new production. And to the extent that they work to sort of further contain their cost structure, it's reasonable to assume that deposit balances would decline, as would some of their excess cash position. but that would be positive to earnings because right now they have a negative spread of about 87 basis points between what they're paying for their cost of funds and what they're earning on their Fed funds position.
Okay, and that was it for me. Thanks.
At this time, there are no further questions. Gentlemen, are there any closing remarks?
Just a closing remark again. We think this is an exciting first step for First Pac Trust Bancorp and Pacific Trust Bank. We are looking forward to working with our team in Cerritos and throughout the western states and look forward to building a robust channel here. Personally, I'm very delighted to have Marito on the team, who has, as many of you may know, very deep expertise in the mortgage origination activity. So with his skills, with Rich Heron's skills and others, I think we'll be able to manage risk and generate strong revenue out of this channel and work out the bugs in our own integration process as we prepare for more and more acquisitions in the quarters and years to come. So we again thank you all very much for your continued interest in First Pac Trust Bancorp and sharing this journey with us. Have a wonderful day.
This concludes today's First Pac Trust Bancorp Incorporated June 7, 2011 Investors Conference Call regarding the company's acquisition of Gateway Bancorp. You may now disconnect.